It's the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson.
Now, while this is all going on, I went through President Trump's speech and Chuck and Nancy's rebuttal.
The most important story.
The American people finally said enough, and that is why they elected Donald Trump.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Britain's version of Medicare for All is struggling with long waits for care.
And opinions and ideas that prepare you to tackle the day ahead.
Because ideas matter.
It's the AmeriChicks, dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation.
Oh, indeed. Let's have a conversation. This is Kim Monson with the AmeriChicks. Hope you're having a terrific Tuesday. And we need to be having conversations here in America about what's going on. Get our brains around these issues so that we understand and can converse with our friends and our family and our colleagues about these important issues that we are facing. So be sure and go to my website, AmeriChicks.com. Sign up for my newsletters. We did a big announcement this last Sunday newsletter. We are organizing a Stand for Colorado rally. It will be on May 10th from 4 to 5:30 on the west steps of the Capitol. We applied for the permit. We've got it. And there will be a concurrent one in Grand Junction on the steps of the old courthouse. And we're waiting for permission in Gunnison. We will have tables there for people to sign the national popular vote. And if, in fact, you want to sign the national popular vote today, down in El Paso County at the El Paso County Republican headquarters, that is at 5145 Centennial Boulevard in Colorado Springs. They will be having petition signing this evening from 6 to 8 p.m. And what this is, as most of you probably know, the Colorado legislature and then Governor Polo signed it, passed what's called a national popular vote. And in essence, this takes away the voice, the vote of everyday Coloradoans. And what it says is instead of our electoral, if us deciding where our electoral college votes are going to go for president, the big population centers will be making that particular decision for us. And that is that's so antithetical to the American idea. And so Rose Puglisi, one of the Mesa County commissioners, was one of her brainchilds, I think also with, I think it was the mayor of Monument. They said, hold the phone here. We need to have a little conversation about this, and the people need to weigh in. And the people are weighing in. So there's a bunch of signatures that need to be gathered in order to get this on the ballot, for us to vote on that, to push back and make sure that we keep our electoral college votes. So that today, and I'll try to keep you apprised each day of where you can go and sign this, but this will be from 6 to 8 p.m. down at the El Paso County Republicans headquarters at 5145 Centennial Boulevard. So be sure and check that out. Let's jump into, well, it's going to be a big show today. We're going to be talking with Sarah Carter. You know her. She's on national news all the time. Award-winning investigative reporter. And I want to ask her about the Mueller report that's going to be distributed, I think, on Thursday. And I've now calling them the three horsemen, Steve. There is James Comey, the former head of the FBI. There's James Clapper, former head of the NSA, the National Security Administration. And then John Brennan, head of the CIA. Do I have them all right? Anyway, those guys, it looks like maybe they might have been spying on a political opponent. So I can't wait to ask her about that.
I told you yesterday when you did the promo for today, when you referred to them as the three horsemen, I think I would have named another part of the horse's anatomy, but we dare not go there.
We want to stay on the air, Steve. We want to stay on the air. So let's jump in here then. We're going to do some headlines. Before we do that, our little inspirational quote for today, this is Holy Week. Easter is on Sunday. Good Friday, obviously, is on Friday. And so C.S. Lewis, the great Christian apologist, you know, he his faith walk was he went to church when he was a kid. He became an atheist, and then he decided to debunk God. And as he did that, he became a fervent Christian and an amazing writer. Have you ever read the Screwtape Letters by any chance?
I have not, but continue. Something else just popped up recently on the same line, but continue.
Okay, well, you might check out the Screwtape Letters, and it's a very interesting read, and it's basically an older devil talking to his nephew and explaining how to grab mankind. It is a fascinating read, and I've read it a couple of times. I need to read it again because C.S. Lewis is one of the great thinkers of the 20th century. His quote today, here we go. He said, failures, repeated failures, are finger posts on the road to achievement. One fails forward towards success. One more time. Failures, repeated failures, are finger posts on the road to achievement. One fails forward towards success. And that is C.S. Lewis. And now I have some Easter Bunny jokes for you. Are you ready, Steve?
Oh, be still my heart.
Okay. Steve, producer Steve, why did the Easter Bunny have to fire the duck?
I don't know. Why?
Because he kept quacking all the eggs.
Oh, boy.
And then what is the Easter Bunny's favorite kind of story? A cottontail.
Oh, jeez.
And then how did the soggy Easter Bunny dry himself?
Oh, a hair dryer.
A hair dryer. You got it. So those are our little fun. Oh, Steve, that is so mean. I cannot believe it. And I was just going to say thank you to you and to Zach and to Patty and to Keith, but I'm going to say thank you to Zach and Patty and Keith. How's that?
Okay.
Okay, we're going to jump into some headlines here. There's a lot going on. And there was an excellent piece in Complete Colorado. Jan Cook, who we had her on the last week, and Charles Heatherly. They said the Democrats are fast-tracking this voter registration bill. And Charles had some very good points on this. Why are they doing this, Steve? Why are they doing that? Because we have significant voter participation in Colorado as it is. I think that there's some real ulterior motives on this, and that is, I think, affecting elections. And you are seeing the radical regressive activists that have taken over the Democrat Party. This is no longer the Democrat Party of JFK. They are not interested in fair elections. They are not interested in making sure that we preserve, you know, everyday hardworking Coloradoans' votes. They are interested in a strategic, kind of a long ball strategy to make sure that they stay in power.
You know, I had a thought when you first opened up with the popular vote thing. And the pushback that is gearing up. We have been watching now ever since last November, this, what do we call them? Not just the Gang of Four anymore, We call them the Denver Boulder Corridor coming to roost and rule. And in a way, you know, it's good to see that, you know, people are waking up and saying this goes far beyond the scope of good government.
Oh my gosh.
And then, you know, in terms of the games they're playing right now, in terms of changing the rules, moving the goalposts, whichever, you know, cliche you want to use, how far do they do it before it actually becomes just totally un-American?
Well, I think that we're right there. One of the things as we're organizing this Stand for Colorado, and go to that, we have a website, Stand for Colorado, and sign up so that we can keep you apprised of all the updates. But, you know, people talk about, oh, my gosh, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you know, they make fun of her. She's crazy. Well, you know what? Many of the things that she was proposing, they are implementing right here in Colorado. The New Green Deal is being implemented right in front of our eyes here. And so we need to come together. We need to stand for Colorado. We need to sign the National Popular Vote petition to push back on that and make sure that thing is so unconstitutional. But I would really encourage you to go to Complete Colorado, and then you hit the banner at the top, and that brings up all their original commentaries. And this commentary by Jan Cook and Charles Weatherly is very well written, and it really explains that national popular vote, or excuse me, that the motor voto vote. And let me just back up. The automatic forced registration when you get your driver's license or you sign up for Medicaid. Legislation. They really explain it, and so I would highly recommend that you go check that out. Colorado made the news on our second headline regarding the red flag law to seize guns from those deemed dangerous is prompting a backlash, and it's like, of course, it should. There's the due process that, is in the Constitution, is being stomped all over with this red flag bill here in Colorado, and you know, they're saying it's an extreme risk protection order. if someone, if they deem that they are very dangerous, that without due process, them not even knowing, somebody can go to a judge and they can issue an order to have all of their firearms taken from them with no due process. And the point to be made is, Steve, if somebody is that dangerous, you need to get the person out of there, because you may take the guns, but there's knives and there's, you know, there's lawn, tools, and there's a car, and there's cords. I mean, there's all kinds of things. If that person is so dangerous, you need to get them out of there. This is a gun grab is what it is, with law-abiding citizens. And of course, you know, it's been signed into law here in Colorado.
You know, I go back into, you know, with a son who's in law enforcement, as this thing was gearing up, ramping up, and going the route that it did. So I go into, you know, it's named after Douglas County Deputy Zach Parrish, who lost his life at the end of 2017, I believe it was. And so you go in and you look at that particular situation. Now, you know, they want to name that after Zach Parrish in his honor. But when you go in and look at the anatomy of that whole situation months before, there were so many missed opportunities. And
they'd been there that night already that night.
Exactly.
I mean, there were many. And so, yeah,
but even before that night, there were other flags. And I hate to use that term.
Right.
But there were other things going down. And I just don't know that the hyperbole that they're putting behind this is really accurate.
Well, I know. And yeah, that's a whole nother thing, using his name on this particular bill. But ultimately, my friends, if a person is that dangerous, you need to get them out of there. So this is a not very much of a veiled assault on Second Amendment rights. It's a gun grab. And I did just see a headline last night as I was looking at headlines that, you know, Canada is continuing to opine that they want to have more and more gun control. And there was a shooting. I didn't take a look at the city, but four people were killed. And in Chicago, they have some of the most stringent gun laws in the country. And yet, you're hearing every weekend there's so many different murders. And so it's unfortunate what's going on down at the Golden Dome here in Colorado.
Will you make a statement about Chicago? That's not just your opinion. These are facts that are collected week after week, month after month. And yet, people here in Colorado just seem to ignore that. They just, it's just not on their radar.
So what we're going to do on this Stand for Colorado rally, there are so many people that are offended and triggered by what is going on down at the State House that we want to bring everybody together to Stand for Colorado. And that's going to be on May 10th. And there will be, that's on the west steps of the Capitol. Go to the website, standforcolorado.com, and there will be concurrent rallies in Grand Junction and Gunnison as well. As we continue to get this organized, we will keep you apprised of all that. Steve, it is an exciting time to be a sports fan here in Colorado. The Avs won last night 6-2 over the Flames, and so they lead that series 2-1. The Nuggets play tonight. And so it is a great time to be a sports fan. And Hooters Restaurants is my sports headquarters. It's the place to watch all the games. Wednesdays are wing days. That is all the wings you can eat for $14.99. And the smoked wings, the girls love them. You know, when I have the girls over on Wednesday nights, I have them delivered right to my front door. And they are delish. They're half the calories. So you can have Hooters wings delivered. You can actually stop by and pick them up and take them home, or you can watch the game right at the Hooters restaurant. So for more information, visit HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. Let them know that you know the Americhicks. We're going to be right back with some more headlines. This is Kim Munson.
All Americhick sponsors are an exclusive partnership with the Americhicks and are not affiliated or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Americhicks with Kim Munson and grow your business, contact Kim at Americhicks.com. That's Americhicks.com.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect your private property rights. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Since losing her mother to breast cancer, Karen Levine has helped to organize a local fundraising event called Karen's for the Cure, raising money for breast cancer research. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson, so call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Social media is important to the AmeriChicks, since it's an avenue we can utilize to hear from and speak to all of our friends. For those of you who enjoy listening to the show, we'd love to hear what's on your radar. Follow us and talk to us at AmeriChicks Twitter and Facebook pages. Also, if you're a business owner who could benefit from some extra foot traffic from like-minded friends, consider advertising on the AmeriChicks radio show. Contact us at AmeriChicks.com or email Kim at AmeriChicks.com.
That's Cher. Cher has made the news. Apparently, she agrees with Donald Trump. Hey, this is Kim Munson with the AmeriChicks, where we are dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree? Let's have a conversation. Be sure and check out my website, AmeriChicks.com. Sign up for my emails. That's AmeriChicks.com/Kim, and we will keep you apprised of everything going on. And hop over to Stanford, Colorado. And StanfordColorado.com and sign up there as well. So Cher apparently tweeted.
Are you going out on a limb here or what?
Maybe I am. But did you see this? Cher tweeted on Sunday after Donald Trump has said to these sanctuary cities, these cities that are controlled by these radical regressive activists, all these Democrat cities that say, hey, we want to be sanctuary city. You know, we want to make sure that we, you know, have an open border. And so Trump brilliantly, from a strategic standpoint, says, you want them, you got them. We will bust them to your city. And this is what Cher said. She tweeted on Sunday. I understand helping struggling immigrants, but my city, she capitalized, Los Angeles, isn't taking, and this is all capitalized. I understand that's yelling, right, when you capitalize. Isn't taking care of its own, but what about the 50,000 plus citizens who live on the streets, people who live below poverty line and hungry? And then she says, if my state can't take care of its own, many are vets, how can we take care of more? What do you think? Because she's no conservatarian.
And she's no spring chicken either. So, you know,
well, that's me.
She's been on my radar for many decades, and I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for her to say something significant. And if you wait long enough, it'll happen.
Yeah. And so apparently, Trump was all over that. And of course, the radical regressive activists were all over that as well. But it goes back to, you know, when we were talking to Karen Levine, RE/MAX award-winning realtor, and Peter Wall, who is the government affairs director at the Denver Metro Association of the Realtors. It is NIMBY, not in my backyard. And I had to drive into town yesterday, and the ballots for Denver were mailed yesterday, so they're starting to arrive. So you're seeing all the yard signs. And I saw a lot of no on 300, which is this they call it right to survive. It's really the right to squat, the right to, you know, just put your tent up wherever you want and stay there. And there's this, Peter brought this up. I mean, it's astounding. There's this civil rights component. No other ordinance in the country has this. And Karen made the greatest point on this. She said that this doesn't help the homeless. But yet it harms property owners, because with the civil right component, Steve, this is so crucial that people understand that if a police officer or an agency that wants to help the homeless comes up and asks them to move, they can immediately say, you are stomping on my civil rights. And so, I bet people that like this would be those attorneys that like to go after, you know, this kind of stuff. So you know, it's astounding to me. But anyway, my point, I guess I digressed on
back,
that.
Yeah, back to Cher.
Yeah, get back to, my point was not in my backyard. There were so many signs that I saw with, you know, Hancock or, you know, variety of the Democrats that are running for mayor. And then at the same time, they had a no on 300 sign right next to it. I found that really interesting. You know, and so not in my backyard. So anyway, Cher apparently actually spoke the truth in that particular tweet. So next news, it's very, very tragic. As we saw yesterday, a cathedral in Paris, Notre Dame, significant fire there. And it's just tragic. The cathedral is over 850 years old, all kinds of relics, although it sounds like most of the relics made it through, which is miraculous. But interesting, Harris Faulkner, you know, she is a commentator on Fox. She tweeted yesterday. She said, "I have questions about why flames may not have had water or it wasn't fought quicker. I reported the targeting of Catholic churches since the beginning of 2019. Also reports of construction and so many people in the way. Let's wait for the facts to get together." And I was talking to a World War II vet that I was booking for my World War II project, and he was also in Special Forces, and he commented about it, and he said, you know, it looks to me like there's a big chance it could be sabotage. His understanding from initial reports was is the fire started shortly after closing time, and it is interesting, and it's great. But there was no, to my knowledge, any bodily harm. So, you know, anyway, I find it just really interesting. I hope that the authorities get to the truth on this, that there's not any glossing over. And I do indeed hope that the cause of this, even as tragic as it is, that the cause of this was by accident and not by some kind of sabotage. But the truth, you know, the truth ultimately will come out on that. And the French have vowed to rebuild. And so that's really, really good. One other thing, Bernie Sanders was very combative. He was at a Fox News town hall. He's made millions of dollars. He made no apologies for that, which, you know, deep down, I think that Bernie must be a capitalist for himself. He's just not a capitalist for everybody else. He wants everybody else to pay a lot more in taxes, but not him. And one must question how he and his wife, I mean, he's, you know, I think made over $500,000 last year. And, you know, that's, I think that's significantly more than what he makes just as a U.S. senator. And Patty had all this information. Let me see. I'm not sure if I can get right to it. But when he was pressed on his book, he said, "Hey, I wrote a best-selling book. And basically, I should be able to keep, you know, much of the fruits of my labor." That sounds like a capitalist to me. But he was very, very combative on that. He did acknowledge that there's a serious problem at the border, and he demands sensible immigration reform. You know, that's what we send them to Washington to do, is to get the job done on that. And then Senator Graham has revealed plans to overhaul the U.S. asylum laws in the effort to halt the migration crisis. And this, again, is very interesting to me, that people can figure out what the law says and then work to get around it. And that is what you're seeing with this push towards the border. And so Donald Trump was, I think, just brilliant when he said to all of these sanctuary cities, if you want them, you got them. The problem is, though, is that the borders are fluid. So even if these folks are brought to the sanctuary cities, they can certainly move and dissipate throughout the United States. But, you know, one thing, as we look at Cher's quote here, or her tweet, is these radical regressive activists that are for open borders and for sanctuary cities, they really are not really serious about taking care of these folks. They want them to go to other cities. It's once again not in my backyard. And the other thing from a strategic standpoint is, like many of the refugees in the refugee resettlement, they are pushing them to cities and to states that normally would vote Republican. And so, you know, I've always said that these radical regressive activists are playing long ball, and that's been occurring for quite some time. It changes the demographics of the votes there. So I think, my gosh, there's just a couple of other things I wanted to mention. And I think we're going to have to jump into this a little bit more. But the $30.5 billion state budget is done. Transportation gets about $300 million, which, as you look at that, that's only about 1%. And then Colorado lawmakers are going to ask voters to drop the gas tax and increase the sales tax to fund roads. I think that this is truly an end run. Right around, last election season, we had that huge sales tax increase request, which was Prop 110. And that was defeated soundly. And so you can see once again that they're going to go ahead and try to circumvent that. So we'll need to keep an eye on that. Steve, I know that you had a quick comment that you wanted to make on that.
On the gas tax thing?
Yep.
Looking through it and saying, okay, Colorado currently sits at 22 cents a gallon. Couple that with the federal gas tax is 18.4. So basically 40 cents a gallon. That if you fill up once a week, that's $6 to $7. Then taxes, that's over $325 a year. Again, there's another tax staring at you in the face. Now, what is their motivation? Taxation of gasoline has been going on for decades.
Well, and that is earmarked for the roads, mm-hmm. although they've been shaving money off of that for transportation. When we're talking transportation, we think roads and bridges. They think that the trains and the buses and the bikes that they want to get us into.
Bikes.
So that's why we need to be vigilant on that. And so, you know what? Let's go to break. We've got Sarah Carter that's going to be coming. Well, we'll go to break in just a minute. We have Sarah Carter here in this third and fourth segment. But before we do that, yesterday was tax day, and we have Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management on the line with us. That's always a difficult day for folks that are working hard, is paying all those taxes, Jason.
Yes, it is. Well, I had to make one quick comment first. And, stop worrying about the migrants not getting bused to the sanctuary cities. When it comes time to them needing votes, they'll bus them around to the proper cities to vote and get them there. Don't worry.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I was thinking about this quote unquote right to rest or right to survive Initiative 300, or right to squat Initiative 300 in Denver. Jason, maybe I'm getting cynical in my old age, and no comment there, but let's just think about it. Let's say that you have the radical regressive activists that want to affect a city council race. You could then, in essence, we have same-day voter registration here in Colorado. You could take homeless and you could have them make their home right on the sidewalk within whatever district they wanted to affect those votes, and they could affect elections that way.
Is this the Americhick show or the current administration's legislation session? I can't tell the difference.
Well, I've been watching them, and I think I'm starting to understand what's going on. So, but hey, let's jump into, we thought we would talk about it yesterday, but the movie you mentioned, IOUSA, sounded interesting. We got a little off track and mostly talked about that. But is it really true that higher earners don't pay their fair share? You sent me a very concise document from the Tax Foundation.
Well, I'll just give the numbers, and then I'll let people decide for themselves what's fair. But the top 1% paid a bigger share of income taxes than the bottom 90% combined. The top 1% paid about a 27% individual tax rate, which is more than 7 times higher than the bottom 50%. And a couple other numbers that I think are interesting, Kim, are the amount of income that the certain, whatever you want to call them, the labels earn versus the amount of the taxes they paid. So the top 1% earned about 20% of the income but paid 37% of the taxes. The top 5% earned about 35% of the income, but paid 58% of the taxes.
Wow.
And the top 10% earned about 46-47% of the income, and yet they pay almost 70% of the taxes. So I guess my question would be is, how much is their fair share when, the top 1% or the top 10% is already paying about 70% and the top 25 pays 86% of the taxes.
That does not actually seem very fair to me. You know, I've always thought, Jason, that everybody needs to have some skin in the game. And it seems to me that, as a conservatarian, that everybody needs to have their fair skin in the game. And so I think that, I really think that there should be just a flat tax across the board for everybody, because then I think that we start to make better decisions. But this is really good information. You know, you put so much time into these conversations that we have every morning, and I know that you put that kind of care into how you work with your clients and taking a look at people's nest eggs. And it's really impressive what you do, Jason.
Well, it takes me that much work just to keep my thoughts together for 2 minutes, but I appreciate the compliment, Kim. It's very nice of you.
Well, it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of good information. I hear from listeners all the time that they are learning on these conversations. So, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, thank you so much. You can check out the landing page, chickspresidential.com. That's chickspresidential.com. Phone number over there is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason, thank you so much, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
Thank you so much. And we're going to go to break. This is Kim Munson with the AmeriChicks. I am so excited to have on the line with me Sarah Carter. She is an award-winning journalist. She is a woman with guts. You see her all the time on the national shows. And the Mueller report is coming out in a couple of days. And I want to get her read on that. And also who I am now calling them the three horsemen. That is James Comey, Clapper, and John Brennan. And so we will be right back with the AmeriChicks.
Work with mortgage professionals who will give you quick and accurate financial advice. Home Mortgage Alliance has the knowledge and expertise to explore the many financial options available to you. The mortgage process can be stressful, and as interest rates rise, it's more important than ever to get pre-qualified now so you're ready to buy. Call Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook with Home Mortgage Alliance to make sure that you're making the right financial choice for you and your family. 303-888-2732. Kim and Mark will remain available to you 24/7 to help you through the process. Choose the only mortgage professionals recommended by the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson. Call Kim and Mark with Home Mortgage Alliance today, 303-888-2732.
Dan Predovich and his team at Predovich & Company help your business plan ahead financially. The AmeriChicks with Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company as your financial business consultant. Predovich & Company will take care of your tax preparation, bookkeeping, and business advisory services. Dan Predovich and his team want to learn about the unique needs of your business through real, honest dialogue. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call 303-791-3000 to start preparing now for tax season. Organize your business finances with Predovich & Company. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Some more share there after Cher's tweet about the immigration policy, sending immigrants across the border to Los Angeles. Thank you so much. Hey, this is Kim Munson with the AmeriChicks, where we're dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left, agree or disagree. Let's have a conversation. Be sure and check out my website, AmeriChicks.com. Thrilled to have on the line with me Sarah Carter. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Kim. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great as well. I am so excited to talk with you about this. There's a lot happening in Washington, D.C. right now.
Oh, this is one busy week for journalists, for politicians, for anybody living in Washington right now that has anything to do with anything political, right? Either the Mueller report, which is coming out on Thursday. We've been told that now by the Department of Justice. They've verified that. There's a lot of issues surrounding the Mueller report, though, and I think that once Thursday comes, hopefully it'll be the end of that. You know, it'll be a wrap-up of what happened there and then a push on to what we're seeing is new investigations that are being conducted by the Department of Justice and others, as well as Michael Horowitz, who's the Inspector General for the DOJ, regarding what happened, possible malfeasance within the FBI for the beginning of the investigation into Trump and Russia.
Well, Sarah, as we were doing the promo for today, I was trying to figure out what to do. I just feel that there's something that's going to break. I mean, you're right there, but this is just my gut feeling. And James Comey and John Brennan and James Clapper. So James Comey, FBI, former FBI, John Brennan, former CIA, and James Clapper, former National Security Administration, Attorney General Barr said that there was, spying going on? What do you think? I mean, there seems to be some there with those guys.
Well, there certainly is. You know, Clapper is very interesting because Clapper was the former DNI. He is the Director of National Intelligence. And he and Brennan and Comey, remember, they were the three that went to brief President Trump early on in January 2017 on the salacious dossier, which we now know has been debunked. Even Christopher Steele himself has said that he didn't verify really anything in the dossier. He kind of just threw a hodgepodge of disinformation in there that was given to him, handed to him by the Russians and other sources. It never went as far as validating that. I think in one bit of testimony that I read that came out of Florida, he actually stated, you know, well, I wasn't a reporter, I was just collecting raw data. But they used this. They used this dossier to basically open up a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act warrant against Carter Page, who was really basically a short-term foreign policy volunteer for the Trump campaign at one point in time. But remember, they weren't just listening to Carter Page. They were listening to everybody that Carter Page was talking to and possibly even into the third tier, the people that were talking to Carter Page as well as those people talking to others. So that's kind of how that situation operates. What's really interesting about Clapper is the fact that Clapper, when it had gone to the briefing, it was even told in testimony by Comey that Clapper basically egged him to kind of brief Trump on the most salacious parts of the dossier. Shortly after he did that, now, I just to maybe put things into perspective for your listeners, that dossier had been floated around Washington, D.C. through journalists all over Washington, D.C. that summer. So people had heard about this dossier, but the majority of people who had seen it, in fact, all of the people who had seen it at that point, none of them wanted to write from it because it was so salacious and the information was so unverifiable, the majority of it, that nobody actually published the dossier. But after Clapper and Comey and Brennan went to Trump Tower to brief then-President-elect Trump, it wasn't even a day later that it started to trickle out. What happened was BuzzFeed publishes the dossier because now based on the fact that that they had been briefed, that they had briefed him, now it became an actual news item. And then Jake Tapper, as you remember with CNN, goes out and then basically publishes the most salacious parts of it, but based on the fact that they briefed President-elect Trump. So they gave validation to a dossier that was basically full of lies. The worst part of it is that the dossier itself appears to have never been verified by the FBI. So they told the courts, they basically told the most secretive court in the land, in fact, a court that is very controversial because, look, Kim, if you and I were being listened to on a phone by the United States government or our emails were being intercepted, we would never know it. We would never be able to have a lawyer go to the court and fight for us and say, this is the reason why you shouldn't. You misunderstand. She was just making a phone call to a source in Pakistan because she's a journalist. She has no idea who this guy is. You know, you can't listen in on her phone calls. So there's no one there. There's no one there that can basically defend you. And that's why this is so important. Another very important thing that's going to happen, and you're right about those three gentlemen. Also, Andrew McCabe, I believe, is in very hot water, as well as Peter Strzok and some others, but is the fact that they were actually, during that time period, McCabe and them had actually not only used this dossier to listen in on what was, you know, to use this dossier to validate, but they had brought in a mole, Stefan Halper. And that's going to be something that they're going to be looking at very closely, and I also believe that the Inspector General is going to be looking at. So Stephen Halper was a professor, and he was working in Cambridge at the time. He's from the United States. He had worked on previous campaigns, both the Nixon campaign and in the Ronald Reagan-Carter runoff. And there's even documentation that Stephen Halper was actually spying on the Carter administration at the time for the Ronald Reagan administration. This is really kind of fascinating. So here comes this guy who's been around for a long time, and all of a sudden he is trying to gather information from Carter Page, befriending him, from George Papadopoulos, you know, kind of luring them in to his snare, and then apparently reporting back to the FBI. There was a lot of bad things happening here that need to be investigated. Also, information that was leaked from the FBI, apparently, from members of the FBI officials there, to reporters like Michael Isikoff with Yahoo News or David Korn. Now, apparently, because we haven't seen the full FISA document yet, it has not been fully revealed yet. That's going to be up to President Trump whether he releases it in full. But apparently, they used those stories, which were based on the same dossier, as separate evidence to go after the Carter Page FISA. So what they did was they leaked information from an unverified dossier. It ended up in a news report, and then the FBI used those news reports as separate evidence to prove the reasons why they needed to spy on the Trump campaign.
Wow, Sarah, you know, this is so complicated, but you're doing such an excellent job of connecting the dots on this. Let's go to break. When we come back, and thank you, I had, and in my promo yesterday, I had said National Security Administration regarding James Clapper, but he was the Director of National Intelligence, so wanted to make sure that we got that corrected. He was the Director of National Intelligence. So we're going to go to break talking with Sarah Carter. Go to her website at sarahacarter.com, and you'll be glad you did because, I mean, you and Jenny, the things that you're writing over there are very important. So we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, you know, our presenting sponsor for Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, our study of the Federalist Papers in February was Susan Cochevar, the owner of the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. And we know that spring is here because the historic 88 Drive-In Theater is officially open. And what a fun evening under the stars. And Susan, I think, has the best popcorn in town. And if you like funnel cake, you are in luck. So currently showing is Shazam, a movie about a streetwise 14-year-old foster kid who can turn into a superhero. Captain Marvel, and isn't it romantic? So for more information, check out 88drivein.net. That's 88drivein.net. This is Kim Munson with the AmeriChicks. We are talking with Sarah Carter. We will be right back.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For over 30 years, entrepreneur, stylist, and AmeriChick Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best with well-priced, made-to-measure clothes that fit a busy lady's lifestyle. Gals, if you want to up your game and freshen your look, email Kim at AmeriChicks.com for your initial style consult. Kim at AmeriChicks.com.
Oh boy, Sonny and Cher. Cher just did that little tweet regarding not in my backyard, doesn't want the illegal immigrants that Trump has suggested being bused to sanctuary cities going to Los Angeles. So very interesting tweet. She is very telling regarding the elites and what they really think. So we have on the line with us Sarah Carter. She is, her website is sarahacarter.com. We're talking about the Mueller report that's going to be released on Thursday. I'm so intrigued by the three horsemen, James Comey, former director of the FBI, John Brennan, former director of the CIA, and James Clapper, former director of National Intelligence. And Sarah, you said something interesting, a couple of things. I remember watching the debates between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, and where she kind of made this accusation about Donald Trump and the Russians. And I need to go back and listen to those debates because I thought that's kind of odd. And I think that that might have been kind of the first shot across the bow on this whole Russia thing. But then what you said is these three guys, James Comey, John Brennan, and James Clapper, visited Donald Trump about this fake dossier, which then gave legs to the possibility of writing news reports on it.
Correct, yeah. So when they went to brief, what happened was in December 2016, I don't know if everybody remembers this, but to refresh everyone's memory, they were in full swing. So I had interviewed John Brennan in December 2016 for about an hour, 1 hour on-camera interview when I worked for Sinclair, for the Sinclair Network. And at that point in time, unbeknownst to me, I didn't even understand the magnitude. Nobody did, of the investigation, obviously, into President Trump and Russia. I mean, at that time, the majority of the focus was on Russian interference in the 2016 election. And Obama was in high gear into that investigation. And remember, he imposed those sanctions also during time against the Russians just before. And I remember everybody talking about this. It was almost like the Obama administration was cornering the Trump, President-elect Trump, on several foreign policy issues, one being Israel and the other being Russia. And at the time, everybody was just kind of like, what is going on here? And of course, you know, people who were concerned or believed that the Russians had, which they did, I mean, I think there's evidence there, which the Russians have always done, as well as China and everybody else, trying to hack into our system or trying to influence things of that nature. It's a big espionage war, you know, behind mm-hmm. the scenes. So there was this large looming investigation into Russia. What people didn't realize that looming investigation wasn't really about Russia. It was about President Trump. And it was about going into President-elect Trump's, you know, almost everything that the FBI and then the DNI, which you mentioned, the Three Horsemen and the CIA, appeared to be focused on was Trump compromised? Look, all you have to do is look at the current Twitter accounts of Comey and Brennan and then hear the comments made by James Clapper on CNN, where he is now, by the way, you know, a contributor, a paid contributor, which is really interesting because all the evidence points to Clapper as being the person who leaked about the briefing to Jake Tapper's crew. So he ends up with the job at, you know, CNN, which is where he leaked the information. Brennan then takes a job later on at MSNBC. But we can look at their tweets right now, and it's nonstop. Brennan, Clapper, you know, and Comey all believe or all want us to believe, and I think now they've ramped it into high gear because they know they're under investigation, that there was some kind of nefarious actions between President Trump or then candidate Trump and the Russians. And there is absolutely zero evidence of this. So then you have to ask yourself, why did this all happen? And we've got to go back to the Hillary Clinton investigation. She was under a very serious investigation for gross negligence. She had basically put a server in her bathroom. Let's just, that's mm-hmm. how people like to say it. You know, a private server. She was moving confidential and classified emails. That's how she was moving them from the State Department to her server. She was utilizing her server as her official government email system, and other people were writing to her on there. In fact, we know now that even President Obama used a pseudonym to send her emails on this server, and they needed to deflect because they absolutely believed at that time that Hillary Clinton was going to be the president of the United States. And according to sources that I've spoken with, there was no way she would become president, I mean, if she was indicted.
If the truth came out.
Yeah, exactly. So if they charged her with gross negligence, so we see, you know, everybody go into high gear during that time. They deflect onto President Trump. Well, he had business in Russia, so let's start investigating that, and we'll put it out there. The thing they didn't expect was for President, for then, you know, I guess for Trump to actually win the presidency. That was the one thing they didn't expect. So they were all in high gear. They weren't covering their backside. So they were leaving evidence everywhere. They didn't believe that Trump was going to win. They thought Hillary would win by a landslide. And remember, the New York Times thought that as well. And then all of a sudden, the American people vote, and they vote for a President Trump, not a President Clinton. And now it's cover-up mode. Now they are moving into extraordinary high gear. And this was right after November. Now they're having this apparent investigation into the Russia election interference, which was, that's what we thought, but it was actually to open an investigation into Trump, which they had done actually at the end of July, the Crossfire hurricane, but then it just ramped up. I think they thought that they were just going to be able to wrap everything up after Hillary wins the election, and then everything would just
Nobody would know.
So now you have to look at the whole picture and see how that plays out. And what we can see here, and I've said this before, and I don't say it lightly, and I'm not being an alarmist, but what happened here appears to be a coup. They used what we call a white coup, which is what intelligence agencies use in other countries when they're trying to discredit a sitting leader, and they try to remove them from office and have it happen naturally. A bloodless coup is what people call it in the intelligence community. By releasing information to the public, bombarding the public daily with news stories that were never proven, some of which were flat out wrong, which have yet to be retracted, in order to target a sitting president of the United States. And there is no doubt in my mind that, you know, Inspector General Michael Horowitz, he is going to do his job, and that Attorney General William Barr will do the same and conduct a very thorough investigation of the abuse of power, the weaponization of the intelligence community, because you and I haven't even talked about that yet, which is the unmaskings that occurred during the Obama administration, and find out who within the DOJ and the FBI were behind this and why. And I think those are the answers that they're going to find out, and indictments are going to come forward. Absolutely, 100% believe that. I spoke with Mark Meadows, Congressman Mark Meadows, yesterday. Actually, we were on Sean Hannity's show together. And there is no doubt in his mind that based on the evidence that the Inspector General is seen and that William Barr is probably being made privy to now, that indictments are on the way.
Wow. I have to ask you very quickly, Senator McCain was shown this dossier, and my understanding is he passed that on to folks. When I first heard some of the salacious details regarding the dossier, I'm like, you know, that's beyond belief, what they said, you know, regarding the golden showers and all that. All of a sudden, it's like,
oh, yeah.
I don't think that's true. So,
well, if you know President Trump, you would know that that is, I mean, I might say, like, let's just be, I'm going to be an open-minded journalist, you know, and say, okay, when you first hear about it, you just say, absolutely not. You know, but you're still going to investigate it, right? Or you're still going to look at it. But you look at that, and you, if you know President Trump, you would know that that's absolutely not true. It's just not something that would be in his nature. So there were a lot of journalists that did know the president, that had talked to him when he was, you know, running the Trump organization, that were just, they thought it was laughable.
So, but John McCain was given this dossier, right? And he passed it on. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, that is correct. So, you know, his what had happened was the guy that worked with him, Kramer, and I hope I'm remembering his name correctly, received the dossier as well. And then it was passed on to the FBI. So, look, Glenn Simpson, who worked for Fusion GPS, which is the embattled research firm that was paid for, that got paid by the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee. So they basically got their funding for this dossier from Hillary Clinton's campaign and the Democratic National Committee. They hire Christopher Steele, a foreign former British spy for MI6, to compile this dossier. They hire as well Nellie Orr, who works with, whose husband is Bruce Orr from the DOJ, and he's passing information on
wow.
to the FBI, and now they're leaking information. They needed to have a solid Republican is what they were looking for. So that way it would give some validity. And, of course, they go to McCain, Senator McCain. Because why? Because Senator McCain was absolutely against President Trump. Obviously, they knew if they passed this information to him, he would get it to the FBI, he and his team, and it would give more credence to the document coming from a senior senator. And, you know, and at that time, I'm sure McCain was thinking, like, well, the FBI, you know, is giving this to me.
Okay.
You know, so maybe I'll take it over, you know. I'm getting this from Christopher Steele. I've got to take this over to the FBI. They're taking this seriously. So he probably thought it was a serious issue. Look, they were spreading the information all across Washington, D.C. They were spreading false information about President Trump to the State Department. They were moving it through journalists. They were moving it through the DOJ. The FBI was setting things up so that it would move around in a circular form to others like Senator McCain. We saw that there were moles inside the campaign. There's so much here that needs to be investigated. And it's really probably, it is the biggest political scandal in modern political history in the United States, if not in all American history.
Well, Sarah Carter, we are out of time, but I'd love to get you back on as this thing continues to unfold. Your website is sarahacarter.com. Great information there. You've got something published regarding Ocasio-Cortez. The social media are a public health risk to everybody, and you've got a picture of AOC there. So, Sarah Carter, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much. I look forward to talking to you again, Kim.
Sounds great. So this is Kim Munson with the AmeriChicks. Our quote for the end of the show is C.S. Lewis. He says, aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you get neither. So that is C.S. Lewis. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson with the AmeriChicks signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.